Principal components. A component analyses are those that are based on the full correlation matrix, that is the correlation matrix that you're used to with ones in the diagonal. That one in the diagonal means two different things. One, that a variable is perfectly correlated with itself. And in some measurement models, that's not true. That one also means that all of the variation in that variable is interesting to us. That we're interested in the total variation. Again, not all factoring models are interested in all of the variation. But that's what component means. We're working with a full correlation matrix. We're interested in all the information in the variable. Principal analyses are those for which each successive factor accounts for the maximum available variance. When that first factor is extracted, it is accounting for as much variance as possible. It's a data reduction technique. I'm trying to turn a whole bunch of variables into a smaller number of factors. In order to do that, efficiency is important. So each successive factor is going to account for the maximum available variance. Also, each successive factor is going to be orthogonal to all the prior factors. The way to be efficient is to make sure that each new thing has completely independent information, that it tells you something that the others don't. Make sense? So each one's going to account for the maximum available orthogonal variance. Also, a full solution with as many factors as variables accounts for all of the variance. So, a principal component solution is looking at all the variance in the variables, is trying to maximize the variance accounted for by those variables in the minimum number of factors, making sure that each one accounts for maximum variance is an orthogonal to the others. Those two things together give us efficiency. Applications of principal component analysis. It's basically a kind of data reduction. You start with an interrelated set of measured variables and you identify a smaller set of composite variables that can be constructed from the measured variables that carry as much of their information as possible. That's what's meant by data reduction. Instead of having 30 things, can I build subsets of them, each of which carries a different piece of information? A full component solution, which is a definition that I want you to know but we hardly ever use, has as many PCs as variables. There's no real efficiency here. There's no data reduction here. But the advantage of a full component solution is it accounts for all the variance. Each variable has a commonality of one. That is, all of its variance is accounted for by the full set of PCs. What we're interested in and working for most of the time is a truncated components solution. It has fewer PCs than variables. It is this data reduction process. So it's going to account for less than 100% of the variable's variance, and each variable is not going to be perfectly accounted for. But again, data reduction, it's a trade-off. We saw that kind of trade-off when we did cluster analysis. Nobody exactly matches that average cluster profile, but that cluster profile is a good enough representation of that group of people. Same thing with a factor or a component. A component is a combination that represents the information that they share, but it's not going to account for all of their variance. It's not going to capture all of their variance. It's a trade-off. We lose a little specificity and pick up a bunch of parsimony. Basic steps. We compute the correlation matrix. We extract a full components solution. Draw a series of orthogonal factors, each accounting for all of the variance that's left over, each of which orthogonal to all of the others. We then determine the number of components to keep based on four things that ought to look pretty familiar. Variance accounted for, how well the variables are accounted for, interpretability, and replicability. We then rotate the components and interpret them. Rotate is just what it sounds like. All you do is change the angle of your head. That's all that a rotation is. You've got this, all these variables captured in a space, and you just change the viewing angle. Rotation was made necessary because, like so much of the rest of statistics, we didn't trust each other. Instead of saying, well, here's my factor solution as a picture, we decided we needed to capture that factor solution in a matrix called a structure matrix. And the problem is that what you see in a picture and what you portray in a matrix don't always match. So all that rotation is going to do, and we're going to look at several kinds of rotations, all that rotation is designed to do is to give you a structure matrix, a little table that summarizes that factor solution that represents the same thing that you can see in the picture. We will have to identify what variables define which factors. That is, we have to talk about which variables load. And we're going to see the same basic rule set or guidelines that we saw in discriminant function. We want things that are weighted between 0.3 and 0.4 or more strongly weighted in order to say that variable is part of that factor. That variable is part of how we're going to name that factor. We can also compute component scores. Now that we've taken these 30 variables and brought them down to four principal components, we may decide that we want to use those four variables in something later. This is a great approach when you've got way too many predictors in a regression model or a discriminant model. You factor your variables to reduce the number of predictors you have. So instead of working with 30 individual predictors, you work with four or five factor scores, component scores. You can also apply the component solution either theoretically to understand the meaning of the data reduction or again statistically applying those component scores as new variables.